It's the 22nd of April 2019 from the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles in the afternoon. Clear day, about 80 degrees in Los Angeles. Glad you can join me for the webcast. Want to talk a little bit about the weekend that I had, and then this article in the LA Times today, written by Curtis Lee and Jawed Khalim, on this 22nd day of April 2019, as historically black colleges struggle across the U.S., Bennett College fights to stay afloat. Now, I'm going to read the article because I think that some of these stats here are just outstanding as I get into this. I want to play Stanley Clark a little bit from cut from his album, School Days, Quiet Afternoon, because that's what I'm experiencing. A very quiet afternoon. And in doing that, I had a good holiday. People came by to visit, family people. Miguel came by. David Duran came by with his family. And basically a non-eventful holiday. Spend a lot of time at home. You want to get out hardcore? Come on. I'll let y'all. Go ahead. Go ahead. He didn't want to be in here doing the webcast. A lot of things on my mind here lately. And the main thing is, I don't know why I just shouldn't just give up altogether. Give up altogether because I see this movement towards, I want to talk about it a little bit. It kind of like breaks me up to talk about it. I really don't like talking about it because I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see at all in terms of the black family. Read an article in today's LA Times telling me that black colleges and universities are failing all around the country, struggling to keep it going. The percentage rate of black students going to black universities, black colleges, drop down, struggling that kind of things that you don't want to see. For the past few months, I was really spending a lot of my time trying to tell one young man, bright as he is, to get into college and let something happen with that mind. A lot of black guys are not inclined to do that. And, you know, we find ourselves drifting into dreaming, mainly. Instead of doing practical things. So, this is what I've been thinking lately. I think I'll do it this week. Contact the retirement board of the college and get all my retirement money and I hate to say it, but go vacationing permanently and enjoy what's left of my life. But if I'm not doing something progressively, and I'm chewing cashew nuts, If I'm not doing anything progressively, then I'm wasting my time. And when I waste my time, I have no meaning. And so, I tell you what, I'm just talking in circles right now, and I've been in the studio quite a while this morning trying to figure out really what the heck I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to say. I'm just disillusioned when I see onward progress in our community, and I don't see it. And with my own mind, I know why so many people, maybe for the first time in my life, just cop out and say, hey, I don't give a damn about anything nor anyone. I don't want to head that way, but it looks like I'm heading that way when I see that we are not doing what we're supposed to do as we add to the progressiveness of our lives. That was a number, Stanley Clark on the acoustic piano. And the next number I want to play is one called The Dancer. 5 minutes and 23 seconds of an interesting piece. Stanley Clark. Well, I don't feel like dancing. I don't feel like listening to music. I'm basically going to take a break. Go visit the convalescent home. Take somebody some nice lunch. Visit with them for a while. Then maybe when I get back to the studio, I would have discovered an idea about something that I'd like to share with you. Oh, wait a minute. I know what. Hold the music. So what's going on with the church bombings, huh? What's this? Are we coming to a cataclysmic in here? Is, wow, in Sri Lanka, huh? Wow. Just a lot of things, you know. I guess I get depressed because I used to live in a day when things like that would never happen. You know, you go to church to worship, follow certain traditions. Now you go to church and bombs go off and the roof cave in on you and killed you. It's kind of like, and this is what I'm thinking, it's kind of like the government of Sri Lanka wanted to see the results if that would happen. I mean, you had the massive shooting. In the mosque. And now this in the Catholic communities of Sri Lanka. They have a very small percentage of people in that country that are Muslims. So, we see that extremist groups are on the rise. I went to my computer today and I watched Donald Trump's Easter egg roll. And I don't think I saw a Hispanic or a black child rolling an Easter egg. Man, that's... that speaks volumes as to where we are. Just volumes, people. Three donors in France given enough money to at least start the rebuilding of the Notre Dame Church in Paris. Church over 800 years old. Can you imagine? Over 800 years old. America is only 300 and something years. And this church, man, you know, when you think about it, think with me. This church, over 800 years old. All right, I got the subject matter. I don't feel up to doing it, but I got to do what I got to do. I'm wondering if I can discover on one of these computers of mine what the first sermon ever preached in that church when it was completed over 800 years ago was. What did preaching sound like? What did proclamation of the Word of God sound like? Because the building is nothing but a burned out museum, and they're going to restore it. I hear it was a beautiful place to see if you were in there. I can imagine. I've never been to Paris. I don't have any desire to go there. But what it was an amusement park now. They said that some of the wood in the church is over 800 years old. The wood that burned. Yeah, I guess so. But what's going on with all these burning of churches here? That's something that we can wrap our minds around if we wanted to. Well, that's it. The mayhem, the killings, the unfortunate crap that's going on in the lives of people. People are dreaming about success, and the state that I live in, the state of California, is a mess, a literal mess. I was telling a friend of mine, I can't really speak truthfully the way I feel about the Nipsey Hussle situation for fear of retaliation, because of what people believe. I have learned how to connect with myself here more recently and to connect with other people in quietness and peace. I've made decisions to keep certain people out of my life because they bring about a little bit too much noise, and I require quietness and peace now. I don't watch too much of anything on television. Now and then a good movie on Netflix is always healthy. But other than that, I do what I have to do. I'm going to go to the store, buy some more grub. Got to keep food. Man, I find that, Jesus, I spend so much money on eating now to stay alive and to eat the right kinds of foods. And I think about the homeless people. I see the condition that they're living in. And I'm just so grateful that I'm not there. Because I'd be dead in the streets quickly. Things like that. You know, just looking at reality straight at you. I had a young man say to me, why would my parents raise me in a sense of defeatism? I said, I don't know. My parents always told me that work is a way to get yourself out of any pit. Because if you work for someone and give them what they want done, they will give you enough food, money food, and hopefully shelter food. But our youngsters are coming up now where they figure that they don't want to work and they want a lot of money for being a singing star. These are their heroes. Can't believe it. And it's rather depressing at times. I have to share it with you. It's rather depressing. If I'm really looking for something to outlast my depression, I don't know what it is, but I would say this right now. Thank God for the sativa, because it really helps me. That's a medical marijuana. That really helps me. Because it makes me think about beautiful things, mellow things, things that are coordinated. And if you have never had that experience, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Puts me at ease with everyone. I get in my car, I go places. Like I'm going to go and buy, Johnny likes this Woody's barbecue. I don't eat that. I can't eat it. But I'll go by and I'll, you know, buy him a meal. He pays me for it. And spend a little time with him. That's it. I'm trying not to talk about the ugly reality that we are both facing in our lives. And you know, it also brings me to the point where do I talk about the God, the Jesus, the Lord that I trust in so much? When do I excuse me, bring him into the picture? Got into a question about the resurrection, the rapture, and all of that. Excuse me. Someone asked me, do I still believe it? I want to. And if the Christ comes from the skies and takes me up to be with him, away from all of this, that would be a wonderful thought, a wonderful idea. Well, I think that that idea takes place when a person dies. And until you die, you're going to be here. And you're going to have to deal with life as it is dished out to you. There is no panacea. There is no escape route. I believed it when I was a young man because that's what religion causes you to do, causes you to have some hope. That's why people are shattered at what happened. These terrorists blowing up churches now and mosques and stuff. When you go into the only refuge that a human has to hide in, and that's their faith in a God that in some kind of way is going to make everything all right. Because that's what religion is. We admire the Buddhist monks because they don't deal with women. They don't cook food, and people give them gifts of food, little plates, and they live on nothing. And, man, we like to feed them because they're meditating, thinking about religious things and things like that. And look at us. Look at us, damn it. Look at us. You know, when you think about Los Angeles alone and the amount of homeless people that are living in this city, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. Some people are downtown homeless because they choose to be. Very few choose to be in that situation, trust me. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not too far from there. Something happens in my life where I don't have access to the things that I require to keep me going. Homelessness could be a part of my habitation. I would not be surprised at all. How would I make it? I wouldn't make it. I'd be dead overnight. I dare not tell people what I'm feeling every day because apathy is, I guess I could call it that. I don't know. Not a hope of meaninglessness and senselessness towards my life. But when I look at the life of other people, they can't answer the question, where are you going to be 20 years from now, 10 years from now? If you can't answer that question, I'm just going to tell you, you're in trouble. Somebody asked me that question when I was in my 20s. I said, striving to make my life better. That's where I'll be 10 years from now. Doing whatever it takes to make my life better. What do you mean? Whatever it takes to make my damn life better. Give me an example. I'm hungry. If I'm hungry, get a damn job so I can eat what I want to eat. If it's cold outside on me, I got to get a job to work to take care of myself and so I can have my own place and have a place where I can stay warm, where I could be safe. Man, you ask these young people today, where are you going to be 10 years from now? No. I had somebody had the audacity, had the nerve to tell me that their birthday was near and that they wanted me to help them out on their birthday. They're not going to hear from me on their birthday. Because when my birthday came, I wasn't thinking about nobody helping me out. Matter of fact, the people were saying, so what are you going to do on your birthday? I said, absolutely nothing. And finally, I changed my mind, had a few people come by. You know, kind of like celebrating almost a year that I had open heart surgery. I guess that's an event. But golly, geez, When you listen to people talk these days and see the way they rationalize about their lives, most people don't know what the heck they're going to be doing 10 years from now and are making no plans to rectify that horrendous situation. Let me say something. You know, you heard the last webcast that I did was, you know, black kids are in trouble. They are. And it has nothing to do with me not liking my own kind, because I love brothers. I always will. But I'm here to tell you, on a day like this, look at me, I'm retired on a day like this, 80 degrees in Los Angeles. At least that's what they say the high is going to be. Not a cloud in the sky, and thank God they aren't chemtrailing me to death. Because maybe I'm getting a little paranoid. Every time the chemtrails up there, I feel sick as a dog. I go outside, my nose is running, everything. I said, what in the hell are these people dropping down on the people of these major cities? And everybody's just going, oh my God, let me see. All right, well, I got, you know, I was feeling real bad. Oh my God. Wait a minute. I'm just reading my little notes because, see, I get these things. You guys are listening to me live. This is the way I feel. I got two messages in a row. One from my daughter, and another one from a young man that I deem is one of my sons. And I'm just not going to answer anybody right now. I'm not going to answer anybody. That's the way I feel. I guess it's called Easter depression, because around this house, when Easter time came, and I'm not ashamed to say it, the house was bustling with Lucy cooking and the girls assisting her in that. The food smells coming from every corner of the house. Guests coming by all day on Easter Sunday after church. In the afternoon, up into the evenings. And me too, I jump in my car and ride to their places. And it was just a time to be very, very happy with family and all of that. And a friend of mine was telling me over the phone, you didn't see nor hear from your daughter? I says, nah. He said, what? I said, nah. You see, because they have their lives. They have their lives. You want to hear the truth? You want to hear the truth sometimes? I have friends of mine that spend some time with me. And it's cool. Yeah, my cousin even came by yesterday. And she hung out with me. I went to dinner alone. I went to a Mexican restaurant and got a chicken enchilada dinner. Ate alone. I'm not complaining. I'm telling you what I did. And looked up at that, you know, basketball was on, and I looked up at the screen and saw that. I don't give a hoot who wins, but I remember when, I think one of the guys that were playing, his name was Harden. I remember when he first started playing ball. I remember when he was, one of them was playing in UCLA as a young man. Now he's a millionaire throwing that ball and still doing what he was doing back in college. I know that's a dream of many a tall young man, to make money like that. But I don't watch that. I get no enjoyment out of sitting down watching a bunch of overpaid clowns entertain the stupid masses of America, when we are not dealing with the important issues. When I was a pulpiteer preaching, the important issue was helping people, looking out in the lives of other people that are less fortunate than we ourselves. Preachers had a hell of a job years ago, because they would look out and they were supposed to become the conscience for the community. Now, there's a friend of mine on Facebook, I won't give his name. He was showing his pastor leaving the church, and they were playing music like, this guy is the crown prince saying hello to everybody, when them people really don't need to be going listening to him every week. Just like they didn't have to go and listen to me every week. My idea of church is simply this. What do you need? Well, I need encouragement. Well, if you need encouragement, look in the mirror and encourage yourself. And just like I'm going to do. I'm going to look in the mirror, comb my hair, put on me some glad rags, go and buy my friend some barbecue, and that's what I'm going to do. Encourage myself. I'd love to go downtown and walk down there amongst the homeless, but I'm old now and my body's aching and things like that. I remember when I worked as a traffic officer downtown, jumping on and off that three-wheel motorcycle or that Cushman or that little car that they gave us to drive. What a great job I had, a great career I had. I miss that. A number of years ago, I tried to be rehired, but I know that I'm living a retired life now. Living the retired life. So, do I believe that my... I think I was answering the question about my faith, my religion... Yeah, it works when I need it to work. But I'm kind of like a pro-activist. I want to see it working in the lives of other people. There are very few people that... How can I say it? There are very few people that are serious about their faith these days. I believe in prayer. I believe in talking to God about my life, but not when I'm in crisis, like right now. That's what I believe in. And I hope that you do too. Have that kind of belief. Before I swagger away from the mic, let me say this. business. Mario tells me all the time. He says, you are just not opening up your eyes, John. There's a lot of people that you help, that you've benefited over the years. Yeah, I guess so. I just want to see results. Okay, 35 minutes. I think that's enough for a webcast. Hopefully, something will take place in my life to give me a little bit more energy to share with you some positive notes. I know this may sound negative. It ain't. It's where I am. When you find yourself there, you have to relish in that too, don't you? Hey, thank you. I love you. I really do. Thank you for coming to my website. Just enjoying this lazy afternoon.